struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude. It's very easy for me to pick the one thing that's wrong rather than concentrate on the 10 things that were right." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today, for all of us who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about a living sacrifice. The sacrifice that Jesus made for you and me was for one purpose, to give us life. It's life abundant. We talked about four aspects of self-offering. The first is offering, giving ourselves to God. The next is acceptance of what God wants to give to us. The third is glory, the unimagined, unexpected, seemingly impossible joy that comes to us as we learn to offer and accept. And the fourth aspect of the principle of sacrifice is sharing. Jesus said, "The bread that I will give is my body, and I give it for the life of the world." He's given to you and me one body each, one body in which to live our lives. What will you do with it? Will you make it a living sacrifice? Will you be prepared to be broken bread as Jesus was, poured out wine as Jesus was? Those people whose lives have had the deepest impact on my own were people who understood the principle of a living sacrifice. People who had given themselves to God unstintingly and without reservation. People who had accepted the place in which God had put them, the gifts which God had given to them, the sorrows, the sufferings, which were used as refining the gold in the fire. And people who knew the glory that comes out of that kind of self-offering. People who were able, because of all of that, to share with me, to be to me broken bread. Today, I want to begin with a very practical contemporary illustration. It comes from the letter from a dear 86-year-old widow who learned what it means to be crucified with Christ. She said, "In today's broadcast, Elizabeth, you asked for contributions or illustrations on our idea of crucifixion with Christ from Galatians 2:20. That verse says, 'I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.'" This widow says, "I submit the following. I had a very good husband in every area of life. He often expressed his love for me and also told me so again and again. How we ladies like that." Now, take note of that, gentlemen. We ladies do like to be told. Don't be like the man that said, "I told you that on our wedding day, and I've never rescinded it." We need to be told again and again. She says, "One of these love expressions was helping me do the dishes after the evening meal. We were farmers, both of us tired, and I thought it very kind and considerate of him. I'm sure I expressed my appreciation to him. But there came a time when I was doing dishes alone. Hubby was a busy person, and he had many things to do. I understood, but I also was so self-centered, I thought he should be in the kitchen at the sink with me. And when he saw fit to do otherwise, I thought he should be helping me. That big, selfish self, or I. I didn't say anything to my husband, but looked to the Lord, took my place with him. I reckoned it to be that I was crucified with him. And Christ now was living in me. Self-centeredness was dead, crucified. The victory was mine by faith, and I was joyful within. I was so thankful I hadn't mentioned it to him. The above is just one little incident of how it works for me. There are a multitude of things which come up daily. I must keep near the cross and maintain my position. Then the victory is mine. Now, Elizabeth, I've shared with you as I understand it and how it works for me. You may use this letter if it is fit. If you do, I'm sure you will in no way identify me. I may not hear it because sometimes I miss your broadcast. I'm 86 years old and a widow for 30 years, but I'm left with an abundance of precious memories. I praise God for that daily. Well, thank you so much. No, I won't mention your name. God knows your name. And your testimony, I'm sure, has warmed the hearts of many of us. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely put down, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or oversight, but your heart is happy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. Shall I read that again? This concept of crucifixion of the self is not an easy one. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? What does it mean for you and me to be nailed to the cross? Well, here are practical illustrations. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely put down, and you don't respond by retaliation, even though your heart may sting, or if you don't insult the person who has put you down, if instead your heart is happy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. That's what it means. So I am grateful for this widow's letter. Let's look at the principle of self-offering in the life of the Apostle Paul. In Philippians 2:17, Paul says, "Even if I am to be poured out as a libation upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all." We often use the expression, "I feel like a wrung-out dish rag." Can you identify with Paul's being poured out as a libation and a sacrificial offering? When you're living for other people, you will experience that. It's in following our Lord Jesus that we are to be a living sacrifice. It is in the willingness to be forgotten or neglected or set at naught or put down. And the Apostle Paul knew all about that, didn't he? He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was starved. He was imprisoned. But he said, "It doesn't really make any difference if I am to be poured out as a libation on the sacrificial offering of your faith. I'm glad and rejoice with you all." I can imagine somebody saying, "There is no way, Elizabeth Elliot, no way, no way, no way that you're going to make me rejoice in my sufferings." Well, you know, you're absolutely right. There is no way that Elizabeth Elliot can make you rejoice in your sufferings, but there is a way that God can. God's in the business of miracles. God can do anything. You know that little song, "Nothing is too difficult for thee, nothing is too difficult for thee." I can't remember the rest of it. I learned it in England, I think, the first time. But it's true, and it's not too difficult for God to teach you and me this principle of self-offering. He taught it to the Apostle Paul, and remember, the Apostle Paul had a dramatic conversion, a total turnaround from a man who persecuted Christians and even killed them to a man who held up the message of the cross. In his epistle to Timothy, 2nd epistle, verse 6 in chapter 2, he said, "As for me, already my life is being poured out on the altar, and the hour for my departure is upon me." In another translation, the same verse is put this way, "I feel that the last drops of my life are being poured out for God." And yet another says, I am already on the point of being sacrificed. In the book of Colossians, he says, it is my happiness to suffer for you. This is my way of helping to complete in my poor human flesh the full tale of Christ's afflictions still to be endured for the sake of his body, which is the church. And that's love. That's what I'm talking about, this living sacrifice. It was God's purpose before the foundation of the world. We were chosen to be full of love. He destined us to be full of love and to be accepted as his sons through Jesus Christ in order that the glory of his gracious gift, so graciously bestowed on us in his beloved, might redound to his praise. I hope that I'm talking to more than one who, from the depths of your heart, wants to be this kind of a living sacrifice, that the glory of his gracious gift, so graciously bestowed on us in his beloved Son, might redound to his praise. We're meant to be vessels, dedicated, offered. Let's make sure that we see that this is not mere theology. It may sound far too intricate for our little minds to comprehend, but the Spirit of God is here to guide us, to teach us, to lead us into truth. Lord, I pray now that you will open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to grasp. Help us to apply this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.